normally we don't explain ourselves here on the podcast because that's just not what we do. But Catherine, it's been like 14 months since we recorded
at least.
It's a little bit longer than our usual.
Oh, a lot longer. Span. Yeah.
Okay, so I feel like a little explanation is in order. And just to put things in perspective, about 14 months ago, Catherine was living at home with her two very elderly parents, taking care of them, which was a full-time job. They were both quite ill and not doing well. So that, you know, that put pressure on the podcast. But what put even more pressure on the podcast was in those past 14 months, unfortunately, one of Catherine's parents passed away, and the other one became too ill to take care of at home. So she's moved on to an institution.
No, not an institution. She's in a private home.
Okay.
Institution. That sounds horrible.
I'm sorry. I was trying to be vague.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a nice, it's a hospice home.
So Catherine's been dealing with some stuff.
Institution. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, no, you go ahead. Now you got to explain.
No, I have been dealing with some stuff. And James also was dealing with some heavy, heavy stuff.
Heavy stuff.
And basically, if you recall back to November of 23, right? Isn't that when it was? Our next podcast would be performance art. We were going to heavily discuss that, really get into it. And James just couldn't handle it. He couldn't do it.
It's too much.
Performance art killed the podcast.
It's deeply triggering to me.
So that was really the issue.
So we both had our reasons, right?
We did.
Right? I mean, equally, right? I'm sorry. Obviously someone's a little bit more important than the others.
Yeah. But it's, you know, we're moving through it. We're moving through it.
Getting there.
Yeah.
All right. So with that said, we will never explain ourselves again. So don't ever expect that to happen again.
Never.
Moving on to follow up.
Yes.
From 14 months ago. Anyway, things continue. Things have continued. Where have they continued most? Of course, they've continued at Orlando Museum of Art.
Oh, God, the old Orlando.
How's that going?
It's going.
That's where, a couple of years ago, the new director, DeGroft, came in and said, hey, let's put on a Basquiat show, but let's not use any real Basquiats.
But did they know that? Did DeGroft know that?
Well, the FBI kept telling him that these were fake.
Right, that's true.
And then the FBI got tired of telling me they were fake, so they raided the museum and took all the paintings.
Right.
Because they were fake. Mm-hmm. And that's illegal. That's like fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not over because the museum rightly sued DeGroft. Mm-hmm. Though, you know, it was kind of their fault for hiring him in the first place and supporting him through this whole thing. And then, of course, DeGroft turned around and sued them.
Right.
But thankfully, that lawsuit has now come to an end because DeGroft theoretically
is dead. Oh, you're saying theoretically.
I am saying that the obituary was so vague as he developed after a short illness, he died. That's the most vague thing I've ever heard in my life. What short illness kills people these days?
I don't know.
And given this guy's background and all the fraud he's committed, I genuinely think there's at least a 50% chance that he faked his own
death. God, where's Doge when you need him? I'm sorry. Did I actually say that?
You did. Thank you, Catherine. I don't want to say how that makes me feel, so we'll just move on.
Okay, just move on. New business?
So until I see the body, no, we're not.
Oh, okay.
You know what? I wish we could get to new business, Catherine. But you're getting ahead of yourself. We are talking about the Orlando Museum
of Art. Okay, go. Finish.
You'd think this would be over, but no, it's not over.
No, it's never over.
Because there's still a lawsuit pending.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the fraudsters who own the fake Basquiats, they're still suing $20 million to get their fake Basquiats back.
Oh, God.
Yep, that's still happening.
They could have my fake Squiat.
Yours is worth more. If I were Orlando Museum of Art, I think I would just leave Orlando by this time. I think I'm over Orlando. Museum, leave. Just find something else to do.
You would think they would have some financial difficulties. I mean, a lot of good museums end up closing.
Oh, they did. They lost a lot of backers and, you know, people.
Yeah, how could they not? Oh, my God. Oh, that's dreadful news. But we'll keep an eye on, we'll do a body watch. hopefully. I mean, if de Graaf died, I mean, rest in peace.
No.
Oh, no. Hold on.
Is that de Graaf?
No, it wasn't. Never mind.
Let's move on to new business.
New Yay. Business. New Yay, stuff. New stuff. Yeah,
you know, there's still art out in the world. There's still stuff we're talking about. And I saw a great article in the BBC.
It is awesome.
The title of the article is, now try to hear this one out.
Okay.
An 1840 selfie to a 1960s advertising.
Mm-hmm.
8 images that tell the story of America.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time digesting that title. I thought it was really awkward.
It's wordy.
I will say that the article and what it talks about, and it's, well, yeah, it is wordy. The article itself is great, though. And what it's talking about an American photography show at the Rijks Museum of something or another. A museum in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. It's a museum in Amsterdam.
Okay.
American photography in Amsterdam.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. So the premise of the show, the show in Amsterdam, is looking at American photography from the very beginnings, from 1840 all the way through, actually it says 1960s, but actually it's up until the 2000s. It's a much broader survey than just like art photography.
Right.
They show art photography. They have portraiture. They have advertising. They have like family photos to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a really interesting look at the whole expression of photography, American photography.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was wonderful. And I thought the BBC article, out of hundreds of photos that are shown at the museum, they picked 8 to highlight from that show. And looking at the museum online and also looking at the BBC article, I thought the BBC did a great job of picking good highlights.
Yeah, we'll link both in the show notes so everyone can take a look. What was the...
Yeah,
what,
but don't bother looking at... I mean, you can look at the museum one, but I think the BBC is all you need to see.
Yeah, which image like stuck out to you most? I mean, which one resonated the best with you?
There were a lot of... literally all 8 of them that the BBC shows stood out to me. But the one that kind of punched me a little bit in the brain, you see a photograph... It's a dramatic red rock outcropping from Monument Valley, so very Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'm looking at it, and like the very first thing before I'm done looking at the picture, my brain says Marlboro.
Right.
I can't even say that word, Marlboro. How do you say cigarettes? Cigarette ad. Is there something you need to attend to there, Catherine?
Guys!
And there's text on it, but before I see the text, literally I'm thinking of cigarette advertisement. Mm-hmm. But the text reads... This is not a commercial. This is my homeland.
Yeah, wow.
And that's where it's like, oh, damn, okay, I'm seeing it as a cigarette, but no, this is actually your home. And we are kind of disrespecting it. As a 1998 photograph by Halia Sinanjini. So that was the one that really stood out as being impactful. But the other ones, they're all great photographers.
I really like the one of the matches and the flag of the U.S. with the lit match. It's called Stars and Stripes Forever.
It's not even something you really have to explain politically once you see it. It is a flag that's been made up of different matches with different colors of the match head. So the match heads are red, white, and blue, and they're arranged in a way of a waving flag, and then one of them is lit.
Right. It's just, Bill Stettner.
It's the kind of thing that could be a little on the nose, but it worked.
Oh, yeah, it's on the nose, but it worked. Yeah, exactly. Okay, very good. No, I liked that whole article. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, art is happening.
Art is happening.
Still happening. Got to look for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next topic.
Next topic. Go.
Turn off notifications.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Turn off notifications.
I pretty much have.
Okay, so you have.
Everything except New York Times and one other. I think it's, I think I turned off HuffPost. I think I'm still getting the Martha Stewart notifications from like the Martha Stewart.
Oh, shit.
I know, like from her little magazine. Because I know. But, it's egregious. I mean, you can take an hour deleting notifications all day. I mean,
wow.
They pile up quickly. So, no, I loathe
such
notifications. It's ridiculous.
They're such distractions.
It's ridiculous.
This is going to be a very preachy episode, but we talked about the art, but now the art is over. And now we're getting to politics.
Uh-oh.
But also, this is just a little bit of, for your self-care, mm-hmm. turn off your notifications. And the reason this came up was because both Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Jasmine Crockett both were talking about this this week. These are, you know, high-profile, very successful women mm-hmm. who have to put up with a lot of, let's call it, shit mm-hmm. on social media.
Oh, God,
so
yeah.
They could be utterly overwhelmed and mm-hmm. inundated by notifications mm-hmm. should they be turned on mm-hmm. for Instagram and TikTok and all that nonsense. But they have both. They just turned it off. And
agree.
Silence is bliss.
Yeah.
Oh, can I just... So you know both these women, right?
Oh, yeah. I follow them both, yeah.
Jasmine has really turned out to be quite the star.
She's amazing.
To speak...
They're both amazing.
Intelligently. Mm-hmm. So she would be great to have on the podcast.
Like, I'm sure she'd be down with it, right?
I think we should take these two and replace ourselves with these two and have them do the podcast.
That probably would get us more listeners.
Well, it would just be a better podcast.
Of course.
But,
well, anything
sorry,
would.
They're busy, so you're stuck with us.
Anything might be better.
I do want to register a complaint, though about Jasmine.
What? No,
I
no,
have
not
seen
my girl.
Her for at least a year uh-huh. now, and she's wonderful takedowns, and she's very, uh-huh. very intelligent.
Right.
But I've seen her several times. I assume she's like 23. I assume she was a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how old she is?
No.
She is 44.
No way.
Yeah, and that bothers crap out of me. I looked it up. I was like, and her birth. She was born in 1981, which is only 10 years younger than me.
Oh, she's
and
gorgeous. She looks so
good. She shouldn't look that good for being that old, and she shouldn't be this smart because she's not that much younger than me. It's like, I don't know why, but if you're really a lot younger than me, it's like a different generation. So I feel like, oh, they're smarter. But if you're close to my age, you should be as dumb as I am. So it's just not fair. I don't like it.
Oh, well, put that aside and just
that's
listen to her. That's not really a complaint, James. That's a personal problem.
Thank you. You my psychiatrist now?
No, but I see one. No, not ex-psychiatrist. What am I saying? Anyway, get off that. Okay. So get off that. Get off Meta.
Get off Meta.
Now we're full on. This is hard. This is a good hard line. Go for it.
I did it. Okay, Meta, which is the owner of Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Threads. I'm probably missing something else, but all the garbage in the world, mm-hmm. basically. You know, that's run by Matt Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Nah. Nah.
Zuckerberg. Nah. He's an awful person, and he's proven it now. I mean, well, I always knew he was kind of a dummy. Not a dummy, but a jerk. But he's proven that he's basically a fascist now because he's not only gave $1 million to Trump directly like everyone else did, but then on top of that he quote settled a lawsuit that for $25 million was basically just giving Trump $25 million for a lawsuit that was
right.
shouldn't have settled.
Mm-hmm.
He caved, mm-hmm. and then he made all these comments of basically bending the knee, mm-hmm. and then he turned off moderation on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't said it outwardly, but he made noises to the effect that he was going to be amplifying right-wing fascist Republican dogma on Facebook.
I just had this thought from this book I'm reading, On Tyranny, by Timothy Snyder. And the first rule, if you will, is what everyone did, starting with Joe Scarborough and mm-hmm. you know...
Yep.
Misha, what's her name?
I don't, doesn't
yeah,
matter.
Anyway, do not obey in advance, number one. Do not obey in advance. And the capitulation we see and saw, like prior to the inauguration, actually, it wasn't just Zuckerberg that I had issue with, but it was, you know, Bezos and Amazon. And as soon as Bezos capitulated and gave $1 million to the inauguration and then another $1 million in kind to broadcast the inauguration on Prime. That day, I canceled my Prime membership and my Amazon Music, and I will not shop on Amazon.
Well, it's not so much that as the Amazon thing, because he doesn't really own or operate Amazon anymore. He's
I know,
out
but still,
but,
I just can't do it.
Okay, that's fine. But more importantly, he owns the Washington Post.
Exactly.
And he is told them not to write anything nasty about the Trump. He's controlling the paper now, mm-hmm. which is his purview, but you're going to be an asshole about it. You're going to, you know.
So that's just my little beef, but yeah, no, I get it.
So this is the smallest thing you can, this is the smallest thing you can do is just get off these stupid social media networks.
Mm-hmm.
Just get off of them. And there are other ones you can use, but we don't need Meta. And this, and here's the thing. Zuckerberg owns 51% of Facebook, which is essentially the whole thing.
Like exactly.
If you have 51% of the voting shares, you get to, you have 100% of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't only own it. He also operates a daily, he's on a day to day, whatever Facebook is exactly mm-hmm. what Zuckerberg wants it to be.
Right.
And I don't know why he's such a small man. He can't stand, either he is a fascist, he's been a fascist the whole time, or he just wants to bend the knee and so that he can continue doing exactly what he's doing without any interruptions. But he's powerful enough that he didn't have to do that.
I think it's more of the latter. If I don't know the man, it's hard to speak to that. In terms of getting off Meta, I never, like we were saying in a different conversation, like Facebook was easy because I don't think either of us ever used it. I certainly didn't use Facebook. I've been off Facebook for many years. But I do have a hard time detaching myself from Instagram because of the visual nature of it. And it just really speaks to like how I view the information. And there are a couple people that I follow that I find very interesting. Hypervigilance is one. I think the man is brilliant. And I was following him on Blue Sky, which maybe you could talk about Blue Sky a bit. But it's just not the same because that's like old Twitter. Maybe you can help me, or I don't know. Is there some other avenue other than... Because I would love to delete everything, including my Facebook, like I have. Threads, all of it.
Well, Catherine.
What?
I didn't say it was going to be easy.
No, it's not easy.
And that was my first recommendation, was to follow them elsewhere, places mm-hmm. that aren't. And so you have that option. And yeah, you kind of have the backup already. And yeah, it's not easy. But this, like I'm saying, this is the least you can do to fight fascism. Mm-hmm. And fighting fascism... is on a scale is like you can turn off the social media
mm-hmm.
that is supporting those people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the least you can do. The most you can do is literally give your life, because we may wind up in a war where we're fighting.
Oh, I hope not.
Shooting
it. I hope
we're
not.
Shooting at people.
I don't want to shoot.
You may hope not, but you don't. We get there by people not getting off of Meta now. If you can't make the small sacrifices, that's where we're going.
So it's Meta or death.
I'm just saying that this is what it leads to. If we can't, as a nation, make the smallest sacrifices, we're going to lose piece by piece. We're going to lose our country into the point where this is an authoritarian state. And if you want to fight it, you're going to have to fight with bullets.
Oh, God. That got dark fast.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been in the country, in the United States, for the past 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got dark fast all over.
Didn't it?
I'm glad you said what you said, because that's how I see it. I see it right now. We can fight by turning shit off, or we can fight later with bullets.
Wow.
You know, they haven't really, there are the Doge, Team Doge now has its own little private military force. And that's the first step.
What? Wait, back up.
They have personal security guards.
Oh, sure they do.
Security force.
Sure they do.
Right. But that's not how it has ever been in the United States. A personal security force answerable only to Elon Musk now has privileges
mm-hmm.
to go into federal
right,
buildings.
Right, right.
What does that mean exactly? No one really knows what that means. What powers do they have? If they start shooting, you know, if they get in a confrontation with a Capitol police officer, whose side is the law on?
I think it's really getting into a really gray area there. I mean,
yeah, we shouldn't be,
and
here,
we shouldn't and have a gray area, which is why, you know, I don't know. This might be a segue into some of the words that have been banned.
Banned? Who's banned words? That doesn't happen in this country, Catherine. We have something called the freedom of speech, which mm-hmm. says the government cannot ban speech.
Right.
So I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're making up here. Probably
okay.
Some liberal slander.
Yeah, it's liberal slander. Straight from the lips of the New York Times. But then Times did cover this article on March 7th. And I'll post it also. And I've been sharing it with as many people as possible and encouraging them to get past the firewall to actually just read this, but in the purge of the federal government of any woke initiatives, essentially, agencies have flagged hundreds of words, hundreds, to limit or completely avoid in government documents. And the Times at the end of the article gave some examples of some of the purge from websites. And it seems if they can't, and you guys can look at this, but if they can't replace the word, they'll just delete an entire paragraph and essentially negate the meaning. But some
or
of the
entire department.
You know, or the entire department, right. But, you know, when I was in law school, my criminal law professor used to say one thing. It's the only thing that resonated from law school, that, you know, language is everything. Language is everything. And I don't know why that stuck with me all these years. But some of the words, can I just give you some of the words?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's a list of some of the words. And I do encourage everyone to go to the article, which will be linked. Accessible, activism, advocate, at risk, black, community diversity, political, pollution, racial, environmental equality, expression, female, woman, inclusion. That's it. Male is not on there. Masculine is not on there.
Woke is on there, though, right?
No.
It is on there, I can tell you. Yeah, it is. No, I've seen another. Well, I saw one of the lists, and woke is on there.
Okay.
And of course, it should be on there. It's a whole list.
It's a whole list, right? Basically. But how do you... So I sent this to, you know, I see a therapist. I was dealing with presumptive grieving issues, and that was all grief. But I sent it to her. I'm like, how does this impact your practice? And she sent me back, like, a two-word response. It impacts it greatly. It impacts everything. And so, I mean, when you're looking at these lists to, I mean, if that's not one hallmark of fascism, I don't know what is. Because freedom of speech goes out the window and no one seems to care what was written by our founders. No one seems to care. And so when this all goes out the window and we're essentially negating on paper or any discourse from a federal perspective, you know, you're negating entire populations of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just
That's
negates,
the point.
And it is the point. And so, like, what is the end game and why?
This is a realization I've come to late.
Yes.
And I'm embarrassed to say it, but especially as a former Republican, but it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
I now see that. There was a strain of Republicans, not all Republicans, but there was a strain of Republicans all the way back into the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That it was all about racism.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about white superiority. And white supremacy.
And white male superiority.
That string of Republicans has been consistent since then. And they've been clawing for power since the 60s. And they finally have it.
But the same people weren't clawing for power. There's an ideology. There's like a cultural component to this that is core to the United States. I think transcends any partisan politics. You know, I think it's a core of our country. It's part of our culture. That's what I think I'm finding so alarming.
Mm-hmm. It was a minority that now has power. And when minorities have had power, it never works out well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when the minority is the power, when you have the majority ruled by a minority, that's when things go bad. And show me a place and time where that wasn't the case.
I'm getting nervous because, you know, this whole language thing, it really bothered me. It really bothered me because I fancy myself kind
it
of
should
a writer,
bother you. It's
you know, and
literally the First Amendment.
And the things that a lot of people that are in my life like didn't know this, and I'm sending them. It's like, oh my god. It's like, don't you read the New York Times? Well, you know,
you don't have to read the New York Times, Catherine.
I know.
You just have to not be ignorant.
Exactly, but I mean, reading the New York Times that would help. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm biased, and like, God forbid, I'm a woke biased person. But you know, it's like, are they covering this on the news? I have turned off all the news. I'm like in my bubble. I've been dealing with so much shit in my personal life that it's just like, I told my therapist, I said, sometimes I feel like I've been standing on a pie plate and the pie plate is cut into like 6, 8, 12, whatever, how many slices. And I'm standing in the middle. And then, you know, my dad passes and 3 pieces or 4 of the pie just go out. And then my mom gets super sick and on hospice and boom. And then I'm standing on this like precipice of, you know, financial concerns and, you know, dealing with whatever. And then all of a sudden, like the government, it pulls out the rest of the pie. And it's almost unbearable. It's like, I thought it was unbearable. And you can cut all this out if you need to. I thought it was unbearable to deal with aging parents who were still intact, like during the MFing pandemic, when I had the realization that I could not protect them unless we all hovered in this house like a bunch of freaking prisoners, like doing hard time in isolation. You know, that was hard. And my mind was like blown. You know, it was the worst time to have old people with heart problems and other shit going on. And then like this weird shit that was going on. And then the political stuff started happening. And then fast forward to death and destruction. And it's the same thing. I feel like I'm living 2020 over again. I feel physically and emotionally as wrought and as tired as I did at the pandemic. And who was in charge of the pandemic? Who? The current president. I can't even say the name. And it's just like, if this isn't the definition of insanity for this country, I don't know what is. And I feel so betrayed by my countrymen for either not voting, most of them didn't vote, or voted for someone else. You know, and it's just like, wake the F up. Wake up. What do you really want? Anyway, I'm a little uptight, huh?
You're not uptight.
It saddens me. And then to have friendships continue to fall apart, you know, and to have people.
I mean, it would take hours to really explain point by point how the country is falling apart right now.
Exactly.
From every aspect. There's no point of America that you could look at right now and is trending upward.
No, it's very sad, you know.
And so. That was well said. I just wanted to follow up with your words, your banned words. Another interesting thing I noticed recently is that when they say woke, what they mean is black.
Yeah.
So, but when they say they're anti-woke, what they're saying is they're anti-black. See, when the next time they complain about something that's woke, if you can replace the word woke with black and it makes more sense what they're actually talking about, then you know what the woke is just a code word for black.
Is it just black or is it gay, LGBT?
Well, it's all that, but I think primarily it's black. I think that's the first thing.
Because that's the first rung of
bias.
Because that's how I see DEI. I see DEI as code word for black.
Yeah, that's a little bit less thin. It's a little bit less of a veil, though. That's a little bit more obvious.
That is way obvious.
But, you know. But all of this is a stepping stone. Black is the first thing, and then it's the gays, it's this disabled. It's everybody who isn't, I don't know, I'm not exactly sure what their paradigm is, but I guess it's probably just a white male, which I am.
I know, good for you.
Yeah, great, thank you.
Great, that's awesome. No, I think DEI, I think it is less veiled. But, you know, if you look at DEI, I mean, I'm sure when I got accepted to law school that I was accepted, yes, based on my LSAT score, based on my grades, based on whatever the hell my experiences at the time. I was in my 30s. But I'm sure there was a DEI component to that.
I wouldn't make that assumption.
Well, I mean, maybe
and,
not.
It doesn't matter. You know, they didn't. Okay, let's assume that is true. The only way that would have been true is if they had two absolutely identical candidates, one of whom was male and one of whom was you. You didn't get there. They didn't give you anything.
Okay.
You just, it doesn't matter. Like, here's the thing. If you have 100 candidates for a job, you can rule out 90% of them. You can rule out 90 of them. Just throw, 90 of them turn out to just not, you find 10 that are just all perfectly awesome and they're interchangeable, right? That's basically every single position is filled this way.
Right.
You wind up with a small percentage and you can't make a decision because they're all equally qualified. In this case, DEI comes in and says, okay, well, you know, because we only have one other woman working in this facility of 1,000 people, maybe we hire the woman. Maybe we give them a chance. Since they're equally qualified anyway,
right?
That's how DEI really works.
That is how DEI
works.
Right.
And you know what? That's what the military has done for decades now. It was challenged in court. The DEI processes in the military were challenged in court, and the Supreme Court said, it's so important. This is such an important value for the military that they are allowed to do what they are doing. They are allowed to base things on DEI. And we have the best right now. Well, okay. I'm going to say 2 months ago, we had the best, strongest military in the world. We still do, but it is slowly degrading.
But I also want to ask you a question in terms of this DEI, like all of the stuff that's just being manhandled with a pen, erased with a pen, you know, addressed by Doge and said, you know, F you, you know, it's not important. We don't need the Department of, you know, we don't need anything in this country. Even empathy is bad for you because, God forbid, you feel sorry
different
for someone.
Different types of empathy. You know, that we should put that down for as a follow-up.
Yeah, we'll follow up on that because that's a whole topic.
All right, so now we've got way off topic. We were going to talk about Blue Sky and Blue Photo and a bunch of other things, but we're going to save that for next week. So we come back next week. We'll be back next week.
We will.
Or next 14 months, something, sometime in the next 14 months.
I think we're going to shoot for next week. We're committing to this hard.
But there's a lot more to talk about, and we are getting off track. So we're going to wrap it up and see you next week.
See you next week. Okay, bye.